You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's a privilege to be here with you on this Friday morning. Thank you for tuning in. This is Graziano Marcheschi, Director of Lay Ministry Formation for the Archdiocese, co-hosting with Wayne Majars of Loyola University. Good morning, Wayne.
Good morning, Graz. How are you? Nice to see you.
Very well.
Lakers took it. Second time in a week that we're working together, too.
Well, you know.
To what do we owe this?
I think I'm working off my purgatory time.
Sackwood's on vacation or something, or what?
He is on vacation. He's packing. At least that's the line we're giving everybody.
That's what we're telling
everybody. Father Greg is packing.
Right. Yes, the Lakers did it last night.
Yeah, then, and Phil Jackson has a ring on every finger now, I think.
That's right. I think so.
Yeah. So.
But you
all's
know,
well with the world.
As one of our, as Bob Ludwig, one of our guests this morning, said before we went on the air, it's all about hockey.
It's all about hockey? Right. No, I think that was Brian the Hitman Brock.
Him too, yeah.
Who is the fanatic of all things hockey here. Welcome to our program. We're going to be talking today with two gentlemen who represent two very different efforts within the Archdiocese, both of which interface with the Archdiocese of Chicago. We've got Dr. Robert Ludwig, who's the director of Loyola University's Institute of Pastoral Studies, and Dr. Juan Lorenzo Hinojosa, the executive director of Solidarity Bridge. Both of these entities represent partnerships with the Archdiocese, one devoted to educational programs and pastoral ministry, and the other a medical care and fair trade cooperative that provides support to the poverty-stricken people of Bolivia. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And to think that we're going to cover all of those topics in 30 minutes
in
is
30
just
minutes.
Mind-boggling. Right?
Everything you ever wanted to know about ministry formation and education and medical missions. Why don't we start with medical missions? Juan Lorenzo, this is a visionary thing that you're doing. It's not unique. I mean, I believe there are other programs similar to it. Maybe not. I see you shaking your head there. So tell us, what is the mission of Solidarity Bridge?
I think the best way to approach it is say a little bit about Solidarity. We have Solidarity both as a motive of what we do, but also as a method. And I think that's what makes us fairly unique, not totally unique, but there's a certain kind of spirit to what we do that creates great dynamism in service of the poor. And so at the core, it's really all about partnership. It's about an openness to create channels for the amazing, dynamic, strong desire of so many people, companies, organizations, hospitals to effectively reach the poor. And we've been able to do that very powerfully in 10 years, forging partnerships with companies, with many parishes, with hundreds of professionals.
How specifically do you do that? In what ways are you touching the poor of Bolivia?
Well, let me give you, in a sense, a little thumbnail of what's been done in the 10 years. We've taken over 250 short-term missioners to Bolivia who have partnered with their counterparts down there. So neurosurgeons with neurosurgeons, heart surgeons with heart surgeons, business people from up here with business people from down there who are very poor. So the whole idea is that you enter into relationship, and out of relationship, amazing things happen. Because as we see what the needs are down there, we collaborate with our counterparts down there to meet those needs. And so in those 10 years, we have sent 45 mission groups. We've donated over $11 million in equipment, medical supplies. We have brought up over $350,000 in fair trade products to be sold and to provide a livelihood for so many people down there. We have done over 1,900 surgeries in that time. But even more importantly, we've equipped the local doctors and hospitals to do what they desperately want to do, which is serve their own people.
And that's the key to, I think, what a lot of what you do, and that is it's not just about going down there and providing services and then leaving and then coming back when those services are needed again. It's a matter of teaching and training and forging those partnerships so they're lifelong and they sustain themselves after you leave, right?
Yeah, I think that's something that's fairly unique. Many mission groups go down there kind of the Lone Ranger, we're going to go down and save the natives. Yeah. That is a service to people. There's no question that it is a service. But what is much more lasting and impactful is equipping the local people to do what they need to do, because there's marvelous physicians down there. What they lack desperately is certain things, like in our pacemaker program, there's a disease called Chagas in Bolivia, and Medtronic Corporation was willing to partner with us, and over the last, maybe 8 years, they have donated, I would guess, about $7 million worth of pacemakers and leads.
Yeah. Bob, Juan uses the word partners and partnership a lot. Clearly, that's an underpinning part of the mission and what you do as the director of the Institute of Pastoral Studies, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have many partners in the community, as Gras mentioned, starting out with the Archdiocese, where we collaborate with them in terms of the TIGS program, Together in God's Service. So this is a partnership between the Archdiocese of Chicago and IPS, Catholic Theological Union. I think Xavier also mm-hmm. participates in that. So people who are educating for ministry for in the Archdiocese to work in parishes, either as pastoral associates or directors of religious education, go through this program called TIGS. And Gratz is the head of it, and we work very closely with them. We provide the academic program. The Archdiocese provides a program in formation and orients them towards the work in the Archdiocese.
Give us a sense of the kind of place that IPS is. What's the mission? Tell us a little bit of the history. You've been around there almost forever, right, Bob?
Well, I began there and I'm ending there, and there was a lot of different things in between. But I would say today, the way I think about it, and I think the way most of us in the faculty at IPS think about it, is that we're educating the people of God for service to the reign of God. We're not only Jesuit and Catholic, we're also ecumenical. We have a broad participation from Protestants and many different denominations. We have people preparing for work in the church and for the church. We also have people preparing for entrepreneurial ministries like the one Juan just described, to go out and create a program like Solidarity. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we had 100,000 solidarity projects going on? So, or working for nonprofits, working in healthcare ministries, working in educational ministries. So we see today a lot of people eager for service, and mm-hmm. that eagerness for service grows out of their faith and their desire to do their faith, not just to mouth it, not just to have it in words or ideas, but to actually act it out concretely. And so so that's how we see what we're doing. We're trying to educate a broad spectrum of people for a variety of service projects.
And as that landscape of service changes, as needs in different parts of not only this archdiocese, but one different parts of Bolivia and other parts of the world, begin to change. How do you kind of keep your arms around staying in front of it and knowing what the future leaders or pastoral ministers are going to really be required to do or be aware of, not today, but maybe 5 or 10 years from now? Either one of you.
Well, I would say you get down on your knees and pray to the Holy Spirit. No, but really, you do have to listen to what the Spirit is doing. And I think, so yeah, you do have to be alert to what's going on in the church, not only here but around the world, and to kind of get a sense for that. You have to, we belong to a whole network of organizations and groups, and that helps us kind of keep the lay of the land in terms of that. But maybe Juan has some ideas.
Well,
I'm going to ask Juan to hold that thought. We're going to take a short break. And when we return, we're going to continue our conversation with these two pillars of ministerial entrepreneurship within the Archdiocese. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Save Our Children is the theme of this year's Black Catholic Deacons Father's Day Luncheon. Hi, I'm Deacon John Cook, inviting you to do together what we can't do apart. Our annual luncheon is scheduled for Saturday, June 19th, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Parkway Ballroom, 4455 South King Drive in Chicago. Men in the Fire will raise their voices to entertain us, and Deacon Leroy Gill of Holy Angels Parish will provide inspirational words for fathers and their families attending this important gathering. Tickets may be purchased by calling me, Deacon John Cook, at 773-548-7724. That's 773-548-7724. Thank you for supporting this awe-inspiring event.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Wayne Majars and Graziano Marcheschi with you. Dr. Bob Ludwig, who's the director of Loyola's Institute of Pastoral Studies, is with us this morning, as is Dr. Juan Lorenzo Hinojosa, who is the executive director. How did I do?
Great.
Perfect. Of Solidarity Bridge. It just rolled off Graziano's tongue earlier today because you two are friends for so many years, so I thought I'd give it a shot. And thank you, Juan. I appreciate that very much. We're talking today about really the opportunities in these two areas that both Juan and Bob lead in partnerships, really, creating and forming various different types of lay ministries, opportunities for individuals of not only the Catholic faith but other faiths as well to really reach out in so many different ways. We talked about the pastoral leadership programs and ministry programs in IPS. And Juan, just before the break, you were going to comment a little bit more about some of the Solidarity Bridge elements that we talked about earlier.
Well, I think Bob's very right that, you know, that whole entrepreneurial spirit is so needed right now in the life of the church. There is a new reality in the world, and that reality is that the laity, especially in their professional lives, is a central aspect of the church's mission, and somehow we need to harness that in a way that forms it, shapes it, directs it, and moves it towards impact in the world. And God desperately wants the poor to be touched through our caring and our expertise and our resources. And I think the idea of creating a vehicle is just so important, both a vehicle to create more entities like Solidarity Bridge, So this creative spirit has to be unleashed, and Chicago is so noted for that. So many things have come from Chicago. There is an entrepreneurial spirit that has expressed itself so many times here in Chicago.
I really agree completely with what Juan is saying, and I think, you know, this idea that we're called to serve, we're called for mission, to follow Christ is to do the gospel. When people begin to think about the possibilities for mission and ministry in their own lives, all of a sudden, a boring life can get very exciting. It's not only for the poor, it's also for the people who get involved in the service. We have an IPS graduate who founded one of the Cristo Rey schools over in Cleveland, St. Martin de Porres. It's the first lay-founded and lay-sponsored Catholic high school in the Archdiocese of Cleveland. And he brought in a whole lot of people to help him do this, obviously business people who supported it and who hired these students. He says that most of those people spend most of their time at the school because they get much more out of that than they do their day job. So I think this whole idea of entrepreneurship, mission, ministry, using our professional skills to blend with our faith and our values to make a difference in the world, this is an idea whose time has come.
That struck me when you were talking earlier. You know, we were trying to figure out at the beginning what was the exact connection between the two topics of IPS and Solidarity Bridge. And I think we've struck a couple of them, but one of them, obviously, is this notion of service. You prepare people for service. Juan, you give people the opportunity to serve. But both of you are tapping this amazing generosity that wells up in people. And I think that's worth reflecting on a little bit longer, because that's why all of us are in business. You know, is there are a lot of amazingly generous people out there who want to do something that will make a difference. You've put them to work, Juan, in a medical mission. Bob, you prepare them to find, you help them to find a focus for that energy. Talk about that, because you're seeing those kinds of people on a daily basis, some of them midlife people who are changing careers and taking big risks in terms of their financial futures.
As a theologian, I'd be remiss if I didn't locate all of this again in the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, all of this is the fruits of the Spirit, and we're all working together out of the Spirit. And so you said we're all in business, but yeah. Okay, so We get young people who are coming maybe directly out of college, but most likely out of maybe a post-college volunteer experience. They've gotten used to a pattern of service, and they want to make it their life, and they want to find out, how can I earn a living, raise a family, and still, you know, engage in the same kind of process that I've been involved in voluntary service. So we get a lot of those young people coming into our program. We do. We get people in midlife. Some of them are women who have raised children and now, after being a stay-at-home mom, want to do something much more engaged in the community. So they're going to get involved in ministry. We get people who are taking early retirement and want to do something different. A lot of people have this desire to give back. They feel like they've been so blessed that they have a responsibility, but also a deep desire to give back to others some of what they have received.
You know, and being in higher education myself for over almost 30 years now, I have never seen, especially at the undergraduate population throughout a lot of the Jesuit school networks, a passion for service and a passion for social justice as we see today. The number of students who aren't worried about what their first job is going to be after they graduate, but are committed to going into the Jesuit Volunteer Corps or spending some time overseas at a in mission work, it's something that they put first, it seems to me, more today than midlife or second, especially among college-age students. Do you see that, Juan, in the work and the people that you work with?
Definitely. There's a great desire in so many people to give back. I love how you said that, Bob, because that's very much a reality. The people that I have that have come with us, over 250 missioners, and some of them have gone like 20 times to South America. There's just a desire to pour themselves out in some way, and there's a tremendous meaning that comes back to them from that giving. I mean, inevitably they say we receive more than we give. But let's not forget, it's not just individuals. It's also, I have found, companies, organizations that want to be part of that. And that's most appropriate, because that's when you can have the most impact. You engage an organization like Medtronic Corporation that, you know, has 36,000 employees and has, you know, I think it's like $8 billion in revenue, and they want to give to the poor through something that's going to be effective, transparent, you know, something that they rely on. I mean, that's a tremendous thing. So what we need to do, all of us, is create channels to tap into that tremendous act of the Spirit, work of the Spirit, which is happening in people's hearts and in organizational life as well.
You know, when you talk, Wayne, about the amazing number of young people who are reacting with such generosity, those are the kinds of young people who 40, 50 years ago would have been going into seminaries and convents. And now instead, they're using their gifts out in the world. But it's just as generous and it's just as godly a thing. We need to go to another break. We're going to come back and continue this conversation. Stay with us.
Hey, Father Cusick.
Hey, Dr. Kate DeVries.
Do you think all of our listeners have heard about Theology on Tap's 30th anniversary celebrations?
Let's tell them. Theology on Tap is a summer speaker and discussion series aimed at people in their 20s and 30s, married and single. It's been serving the finest of theology speakers in conversation for 30 years.
That's a lot to celebrate. This year we begin July 11th and go until August 6th with some wonderful speakers and topics.
And then on Sunday, August 8th, Cardinal George is celebrating Mass at 3 p.m. in Holy Name Cathedral for everyone who has ever been a part of the program.
After Mass, the Cardinal invites us all back to his residence for a picnic. What a fun way to spend Sunday in the city.
And additional events are also being planned for the 30th anniversary.
On July 23rd, Father Cusick is leading a talk, Why Should I Go to Church? It's a key question. It's open to all past and present Theology on Tap participants and their children.
Details about additional special events can be found on our website, yamchicago.org, and you can purchase tickets for the August 8th picnic there as well.
Come celebrate 30 years of Theology on Tap with us. Again, details are at yamchicago.org.
Let's keep tapping, and God bless.
Cardinal George directs the catechetical activities of the Archdiocese of Chicago through the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. Our office promotes lifelong catechesis by directing certification and formative opportunities for those who teach catechesis in the more than 350 parishes that make up the Archdiocese.
Each year we host a myriad of opportunities to enhance adult faith formation and youth ministry programs. We sponsor certification classes, guest speakers, youth rallies, retreats, and our well-attended annual Chicago Catechetical Conference.
We work closely with pastors to ensure that their congregations and staffs are well-formed in teaching and learning about the Catholic faith. Our highly skilled coordinators serve various ethnic groups, speak multiple languages, and are always ready to serve Christ through catechesis.
Log on to www.catechesis-chicago.org or www.youthministry-chicago.org to learn more about how we can better serve you.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. It's Friday in Chicago, and we're grateful that you're spending this hour of your morning with us. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Wayne Majars, and we're talking to Dr. Robert Ludwig, Director of Loyola University's Institute of Pastoral Studies, and Dr. Juan Lorenzo Hinojosa, who's the Executive Director of Solidarity Bridge. During the break, we were talking about the the inspiration for this generosity that we've been talking about and making a connection with Vatican II. Bob, why don't you talk a little bit about how you see this flowing out of the council?
Well, you know, Gratz, if you look at some of the things that are going on today with a greater historical perspective, you know, for centuries, at least 2.5 centuries in this country, it was basically religious communities that were doing the pioneer work of ministry in the community, creating the schools, the orphanages, the hospitals. Well, we know that religious communities, in terms of their numbers, in terms of their ages and so forth, are not what they used to be. And this work has got to be picked up by others in our time. And Vatican II prepared us for that. Vatican II emphasized this whole notion of the full discipleship of the laity and calling us all to mission and ministry. In the immediate years after Vatican II, mostly that meant people getting more involved in church. They got more involved as musicians and singers and more involved as lectors and Eucharistic ministers, and people created different ministries within the church, all of which was wonderful and terrific. But I think the full vision of Vatican II is to motivate the whole faith community, not just for ministry to the community of faith, but from the community of faith to the world as a whole. And I think that's what's beginning to happen in our time more and more. The full vision of Vatican II is beginning to explode at a time when we desperately need it.
Yeah, Bob, at the very heart of the design, as it would be, of what Solidarity Bridge is, are the laity. The fact that the laity in their professional lives have a great deal to contribute to the world out of a partnership with their counterparts in other places. So it's a model of solidarity that is all about mutuality and service to the common good. And this vision, I think, is somewhat different because laity have a tremendous already connection to the civil society in a way that is particular to who they are. And those connections then get harnessed and have tremendous impact to create good for not just the poor, but for the civil society as a whole, in both in this country and wherever else the outreach goes.
And one of the other part of that that you mentioned in Solidarity Bridge is what you call the spiritual journey, that this is really an opportunity central to your mission that celebrates faith by action and example. And that's a dimension that I think both of you bring to all of your work and the people that you work with and you serve and you train, that this is not, it's about giving back, but it's also about expanding and understanding one's faith better.
I have found that the people that go with us and the people that stay with us, generally the primary leaders, find a certain something with us. And I think it has to do with a certain reflectivity about their lives, what God might be calling for from them now. They get a certain perspective on their professional lives up here after they've gone down there. So it's a very rich thing to be immersed in another culture and another way of doing things, and one grows out of that experience.
You know, I think what both of you are talking about is living out what we're told to do at the end of every Mass. When we hear the Mass has ended, go to love and serve the Lord. This is how we're told to love and serve the Lord in action. I mean, certainly we love our families. Certainly we forgive. We reconcile. But we also have some very specific things to do, like helping the poor.
You know, if somebody asked, what is Solidarity doing? What is Solidarity Bridge doing? You could say, well, good news is being proclaimed to the poor, the lame walk, the blind see, and people who were dead are being brought to life. If that isn't the gospel brought to life in our time, I don't know what it is.
One of the ways you do it at Loyola, you've got a new degree in social justice, don't you, Bob?
It's an MA in social justice, which has now been combined with community development. So it's a Master of Arts in social justice and community development. So we're blending the theoretical and the practical, and people can kind of move that program in whichever direction they want to. But it's educating people to make a difference on the ground in terms of helping communities draw from their assets and make a difference in the world.
And once upon a time, putting justice in the title of a degree was a sure way to kill it, but that's not the case anymore.
No, actually, I was told when we first created this program by one of our outside scholars who came in to evaluate IPS, well, that degree probably won't go anywhere. Mm. And I saw him earlier this month in Colorado, and I said, hey, Marcel, guess what? It's going gangbusters.
Juan, tell us about some upcoming events you've got with Solidarity Bridge.
Yes, very soon we're going to have a mission trip in July to a new city where we're developing our pacemaker program. And then in September, October, we invite people that might be medically oriented professionals who might want to go. We'll have a large group going to the city of Cochabamba. Please go to our website, solidaritybridge.org, or call our office, 847-328-7748. If you want more information, we welcome nurses, particularly anesthesiologists, surgeons, primary care physicians. You know, if you feel God knocking on your door on this, we would love to have you. And if you have a company that is connected to the medical area and you feel that they might have an openness to make a contribution to the lives of the poor, we would welcome any inquiries.
Thank you very much, Dr. Juan Hinojoso, who is the Executive Director of Solidarity Bridge, for being with us. Bob, you're going to stick around for the next segment, are you not? Stay with us. There'll be a little something extra in your paycheck.
I'd love
for that. Juan, continued success in all your good work. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God, in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's retreat focuses on fueling our faith as we reclaim our faithful.
We will examine the fire of evangelization as it pertains to Black Catholic spirituality. Experience robust talks, prayer sessions, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry and lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community.
Join us at Mawusi Friday, July 30th to Sunday, August 1st at Techni Towers in Techni, Illinois. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Are you Mawusi?
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 a.m. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And we thank you once again for tuning in. You're listening to the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're happy to bring you some of the good news about the wonderful things happening within this archdiocese. One of the things we're going to tell you about this hour, this half hour, is a program called Inspire. In the studio, we have Dan Gast, who's the director of Inspire, which is another partnership with the archdiocese that serves parish staffs, developing effective pastoral leadership teams. Dan is an adjunct faculty member at the Institute of Pastoral Studies at Loyola and serves in leadership development at the Archdiocesan Office of Personnel Services. He has served in ministerial work involving pastoral, educational, and catechetical leadership at parish, diocesan, and national levels. I'm very impressed, Dan. On the phone, joining us is Father Mike Baim, who is a pastor who has used the Inspire program. And sitting right next to me here in the studio is Patty Fitzpatrick, a graduate of the Together in God Service program, very proud of that, and director of the Ministry of Bereavement and RCIA at St. Norbert Parish, and one of IPS's most recent graduates of the Master of Arts in Pastoral Ministry program. Welcome to all of you.
Good morning.
Inspire has an inspiring name. Tell us what it's all about.
Inspire is a wonderful program that is another form of collaboration with the Institute of Pastoral Studies at Loyola University and with the Archdiocese, and a wonderful endowment that helped us get this off the ground, the Lilly Endowment in Indianapolis.
God bless those people.
They are wonderful people. And this project is part of their program that is a national program called Sustaining Pastoral Excellence. And the challenge given to Dr. Mary Elsburn, who wrote the original proposal to them, was to identify a way to find healthy parishes and healthy pastors and teams and help them to build a way to come together as collaborative pastoral leaders. She submitted a proposal that was one of 450 proposals presented, and she was one of the 60 recipients.
Wow.
So,
Father Mike Baim, you are a pastor who reached out to the Inspire program as you led a merger with St. Maurice and two other parishes in McKinley Park. Tell us how that relationship began and what you saw develop among your parish leadership teams as these mergers took place.
Well, I think the most important thing is we got a lot of support from other parishes and outside resources that helped our people kind of rise above the parochialism. We were asked to consolidate Our Lady Good Counsel, St. Peter and Paul, and St. Maurice by picking five people from our parish that could contribute healthfully to a process that would allow a new form of parish to be born. And I noticed that the more and more that we went along, our people really stood out because they had been with other people that were constantly in formation, and I think that exposure to a bigger picture helped them to see beyond the parochial view that most of our average parishioners have. I was really impressed the way they responded.
Patty Fitzpatrick, you've experienced Inspire from the receiving end when 3 years ago they came to your parish, St. Norbert's, and tell us how it works and how it helps you to become a more effective ministerial staff.
At St. Norbert, we went through a transition of a new pastor. And so Inspire helped us to empower the laity and clarify our roles as ministers. At St. Norbert, we moved from a vertical clerical culture to a horizontal. And so we needed to know how to operate in this new environment and how to minister.
All right, let me back you up. Vertical versus horizontal. Describe that to us. How does that work?
We, as a staff, would always turn to our pastor for the answer. And we, in fact, at our first Inspire meeting, the spiritual director who was helping us laughed when she heard us ask the pastor, Were we being good? Were we doing what we were supposed to? So we had to change that culture, and we needed the skills and the tools to do that. Inspire was there to help us through that.
Dan, I have to ask you, because in keeping with that theme that Patty just brought up, one of the things that struck me in the description of the program of Inspire is one way, I'm quoting now, one way we can describe the collaborative approach to Inspire is we help people tell the truth at rectory tables. I would imagine that a lot of what makes Inspire work, or what makes graduates like Patty really be able to contribute positively, is that breaking down of traditional roles between the clergy and the laity, and recognizing that there is an opportunity for everyone to collaborate, for everyone to provide input, and for equal parts to share in the overall direction of a spiritual or faith community. Is that a big piece of it?
You answered my question as you said it. That is very much what we do. What it turns out that across the country, people that get into ministry in very busy places like Catholic parishes find themselves more isolated than they ever realized they would be, because they have a certain part of the parish to be responsible for. And it's very easy to become defensive about that part of the turf, and so there can be a phenomenon we call elephants in the room. There can be things that are not discussed, and those can sometimes be a danger. Imagine Father Mike Boehm with his parishioners bringing to the parishioners a big elephant in the room. We might become part of a different parish, and maybe our parish is going to continue with St. Maurice, or maybe it is not. There's a lot of threat there, mm-hmm. And so we work at work on those walls that just naturally seem to form.
You mentioned before that one of the tasks of Inspire is to identify parish staffs that are working effectively. Tell us two things. How did you go about identifying them? How did you hear about the good parish staffs? And what kind of characteristics, what kind of attributes were you looking for that constitutes a well-functioning staff?
The original project we knew could only work with about 10% of the parishes in the diocese. So before I was hired even, there was an announcement put out with a very simple application form to parishes in the diocese. And so some of them got to us. And we worked with them, and what we looked for was simply the desire to be more together, more on the same page, exercising common mission. That became our little compass for that. There were other teams that did not apply because they thought they had nothing in the way of a big staff. A lot of volunteers, just a pastor, and maybe he could afford two other people on staff. So we had to go out and shoulder tap those places and say, think about this.
And what are the characteristics of a good staff?
A good staff, number one, is able to share spirituality together. We're finding that that is our number one gateway. They build, they're conscious of building their own personal integrity, and they're willing to carry that integrity to the staff and to share faith together. And then ideas and mission and finding ways to tag on their work to each other.
Father Mike, as you started down the road of merging these parishes together and then reaching out and working with Inspire for help with this transition, what were maybe one or two of the significant challenges or concerns that you had in this process that Inspire really helped you to manage and get through effectively in order to make this happen?
Well, I think the biggest problem and difficulty for any pastor is getting by what's called a parochialism, that their parish is the kingdom of God. And that took place in a lot of these meetings. But our people seemed to sense that that wasn't right. And I know they got that because they were in these conferences with a lot of other parishes with good outside resources. And I really saw people change and their whole attitude toward what they were doing. Like, it's not their fault, though, because they never had the opportunity to have this type of formation. Also, you know, one of the problems that they also had was the Lilly Foundation allows each person to spend a certain amount of money on themselves for their own personal development. A lot of people couldn't figure out what they wanted. You know? Mm. They said, we don't need that. Well, that's a very important part of the program, because they really, really do need it, and it's something that the average parish cannot give them. So I really appreciated that.
Thank you, Father Mike. Yeah, I think the Institute of Pastoral Studies has become very aware of all this, too. We're going much more into trying to develop programs for continuing education that can be useful for people involved at the grassroots level. So in addition to our 6-degree programs that prepare people for ministry, Master of Divinity, Master of Pastoral Studies, etc., we're also now providing people for continuing education, and we work very closely, obviously. I mean, Inspire is a collaboration between the Archdiocese and the Institute of Pastoral Studies. And so we're very interested in directing the Institute increasingly to how can we make a difference for ministry on the ground in the parishes.
Inspire is Identify, Nurture, and Sustain Pastoral Imagination Through Resources for Excellence. We're talking about that in the second half of the program this morning. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
Whether you're a high school teen, parent, teacher, or catechist, the Chastity Education Initiative of the Archdiocese of Chicago has something to offer you this summer. On July 19th and 20th, the initiative will host its first annual Justice and Life Youth Leadership Summit for high school teens. Join other teens to learn from pro-life leaders on how to be an effective advocate of pro-life issues at your school or parish. With activities, praise and worship, mass, and much more, this will be an experience not to miss. If you're a teacher, a parent, or a catechist, you won't want to miss out on a training for the wildly popular Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum on August 13th, perfect for 8th grade through high school students. Contact the Respect Life office for more information about this teacher training or the Youth Leadership Summit at 312-534-5355 or go to www.respectlifechicago.org. That's 312-534-5355. Or www.respectlifechicago.org.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Traveling this summer? Then stay connected to your church while you travel by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith, the voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago on Relevant Radio AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Wayne Majars, thanking you for spending this part of your morning with us. We're talking about Inspire, a program co-sponsored by the Archdiocese of Chicago and Loyola University Chicago that helps parish staffs to be more effective in carrying out their ministry. Dan, you mentioned a while ago that one of the primary characteristics of a good staff is that they share faith. The late Pope John Paul the Great said that sometimes we get so caught up in the work of the Lord that we forget the Lord of the work. I think you hear from a lot of staff people that one of the things that seldom happens is the sharing of faith. You know, that it becomes a job, it becomes so all-consuming. Not that they've lost their faith, but that the work becomes so primary that they forget to pray. How do staffs make the time to do that? And I'd like to hear from you, Patty, too, because you're part of a staff. And I'd like to hear how you as a staff protect that important aspect of your life together?
I will give you the dilemma, and Patty can give you an example of how that has happened. People in parish staffs put in long hours, and many of them are parents, dads and moms, and after those long hours are over, they're back at their homes and they're putting in more long hours. By the end of the day, they're tapped out. It is so easy to lose a sense of one's own spirit and one's own connection and faith, and you just get involved in the tasks. And that's the burden of spirituality. And what we put in front of people is a chance to do a learning plan. It has four parts. The one that in particular the lay people go to first every time is spiritual direction, spiritual formation, because they it's been around to it instead of the center of their lives.
Yeah. So,
in order to have good communication, we meet weekly as a staff, and so we want to have effective staff meetings. And one thing that we always start out with is reading the upcoming Sunday's gospel and taking a good 20 minutes to reflect on how the gospel speaks to us in our ministry. Then we are going to do a check-in, where we check in with any struggles or challenges that we have in our lives or in our ministry. And then we get on to the order of the business. We've just recently had a staff day this week, an annual staff day, where we focused on finding our strengths. We went through the strength finders through the resources of Inspire and found out our own strengths and the strengths of our coworkers. So this allows us to be effective as a team when we collaborate together on whose strengths a particular job would match up.
What was one of your strengths, Patty?
I'm a learner.
A learner.
As a recent graduate of IPS, that fits.
That fits very well.
Dan, I'm sorry, Bob, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's important to see how the educational enterprise interfaces with what we're talking about in terms of spirituality in the parishes, because, you know, what we're about in ministry has got to be grounded in our theology and our scripture. The more we know about scripture, the more we know about, for instance, grace and sin and salvation from a theological perspective, the more that enlivens what we're doing. One of the first courses I taught at the Institute of Pastoral Studies, and this was decades ago, Gratz may even remember it, was called Pastoral Ministry as the Proclamation of Grace. If we're doing anything in ministry, we've got to be proclaiming the gracious goodness of God and its effectiveness in our lives. So I think we have to remember that education and ministry go together, and that ministry and education go together. That's why this Inspire collaboration between the Archdiocese and the Loyola's Institute of Pastoral Studies is such a wonderful match.
Father Mike, how have you seen the faith dimension of Inspire's work really take hold and play out in the work that Inspire has done with your parish?
Well, I think the average Catholic in a neighborhood parish has never been exposed to this whole process of formation. And once they're exposed, you don't have to convince them at all, because they really want it, because they realize how much they're lacking. And it's nobody's fault, but it's just a tremendous opportunity for them. And it affirms people who they are and where they're at. And I think that's a very good thing, because you have to have somebody come in from the outside in order to lift you up so you can see what's there. And I think that's what happened.
Dan, is that one of the challenges of the program in trying to recognize that someone who steps forward to participate actively in, for example, parish leadership, that it's more about spending your free time contributing to the church or contributing to a particular mission operation? It's really about an opportunity to grow in your own faith. It's really an opportunity to expand your own journey of grace. It seems to me that while there's a passion for service that we talked about earlier, especially among young people, maybe it's pure speculation on my part, what is missing is that there's also a faith and a spiritual dimension to that service.
And that's what we're all about. Our job is to turn on the light to that reality, that you aren't going to be all that effective as a servant if you are not nurturing your own spirit, your own person, and becoming engaged in this community of faith at that deeper level of awareness of God's grace and presence.
And that's not such a no-brainer as we might think.
Yeah.
I mean, often there is a disconnect between people's sense of service and their sense of spirituality. Sometimes people just don't see the need of one going with the other.
They get caught up in the doing. And it's easy to fill an entire day with nothing but doing.
One of the elements that are part of the Lilly Grant and also part of the Inspire program is something you call the sustainability phase. That is, after the formal program is set up and going, how do you assess it? How do you know that it continues to work and contribute positively to that particular ministry? Talk a little bit about that.
Of all of the sustainability grants that were given out by the endowment, ours is the only one that predicated sustaining ourselves by going out of business. Inspire will have completed its work by the end of 2012. And by that time, we need to have up and running at Loyola University Chicago a Center for Parish Excellence. We're going to have to give it a name, but it will be about parish life and parish vitality. There will also need to be a complementary structure of some kind at the Archdiocese of Chicago so that the partnership continues and the work continues in new and vital ways.
Talk about the most people have a sense that their parish is a good place. There's a natural bias to think that my pastor's a good pastor, my parish is working well. But people have a sense that other parishes and other pastors aren't so good. What is that phenomenon?
I think, you know, there's no place like home, and people people look at that. I think Patty deals with that all the time because you're attempting to lift people's eyes up. And what we find is that the healthy parishes are the ones that are outward focused, as well as having that interior life and communal life going on. But it's always with a connection to looking, who can they serve out there? Who are the twin parishes they can adopt? How can they send people on mission out into the world?
Jump in here, Bob.
Well, it's what Father Bema earlier referred to as parochialism. And it's very easy. It happens not just in church life. It happens all the time. And we always think that our little context is the only context. Maybe Father Bema could say more about that.
Well, I think it's just part of the nature of the beast, because people have been in their neighborhoods. They love who they live with. But it's not their fault. Like I said, I think the biggest thing for me, somebody came in from the outside and said something that had great meaning for people, and that you have to work together, and not only with your own parishioners, but with the bigger church. That's what got me excited. You know, Inspire put people in touch with the Universal Church, and that made a big difference before McKinley Park. I really believe that.
And I think IPS does a good job with that also. One of the most impressive things for me was the caliber of students and the broad perspective that you receive when you go and attend class, chaplains in hospitals and people who work with AIDS patients and help the homeless. And they're from all different parishes, so you get a different perspective than you do just on your own parish.
I'm assuming it takes a great deal of courage and not a small amount of humility to invite someone from the outside to come in and take a look at your system and maybe have to point out some things that aren't working so well.
It can be a dangerous invitation, but at the same time, our folks know that these are people that aren't going to write reports somewhere else. It all stays. Everything stays with the staff.
Before we run out of time, we want to make sure we get in a web address and a phone number, both for the IPS program and for additional information on Inspire. Bob?
Well, for the Institute of Pastoral Studies, you can go to www.luc.edu/IPS, or you can simply Google Loyola University Chicago and then type in Institute of Pastoral Studies and our website will come up. Let me give you our phone number if I could. It's area code 312-915-7400.
One more time.
312-915-7400.
Come to the Loyola Institute of Pastoral Studies website and you'll find a link to www.inspireproject.org. And our number is 312-534-2611.
312-534-2611. Well, we want to thank all of our guests, Dan Gass, Director of Inspire, Dr. Robert Ludwig, Director of the Institute of Pastoral Study, Father Mike Bame, Associate Pastor, and Patty Fitzpatrick from St. Norbert's Parish. You've been listening to the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio. I'm Graziano Marcheschi with Wayne Magyars. Have a wonderful and blessed weekend.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.